Our scripture lesson today is right there in the bulletin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 to 20, and I'll read it from the New Revised Standard Version today. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. May the Lord bless us and encourage us as we turn to His Word. One of my favorite movies of all time is more associated with Christmas than it is with Easter. I just love It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. And first time I saw it, I thought, oh, this is kind of corny. But the more I thought about it and watched it, the more I thought, this is really a wonderful story. You know, it's been out there forever, so I don't feel bad in giving away a little bit of the plot. Jimmy Stewart's character, George Bailey, is a good man who has repeatedly denied himself and his family a lot of the good things of life so that he can help others. But now he's in a desperate situation. His business is about to go under, and it's possible he could even face criminal charges for something he didn't do. And in the middle of all of it, with his life falling apart, he wanders out onto a bridge on a snowy night, ready to throw himself in to end it all. And he mutters, it would have been better if I'd never been born. But before he could jump, someone beat him to it, landed in the water and started yelling for help. So he jumped in to save this man. So rather than ending his life, he ended up saving one. It turned out to be an angel in training by the name of Clarence, whose assignment was to try to get him out of that depression he was in and show him that life was worth living. And the way he did it was to show him what life would have been like if he had never been born. In the world where George Bailey never existed, he came to realize that all the people around him had been enriched by his presence, and they were miserable without him. The Apostle Paul engages in this same kind of what-if thinking in our text today. He asserts that Jesus' resurrection from the dead is historical fact. It is reality. It is truth. And this is what the Christian faith is built upon. But what if? What if Jesus really didn't rise from the dead on that first Easter? What if his body stayed in the tomb and decayed and decomposed, just like everybody else's? Would that make a difference? Would it affect us? That was an important question in Paul's day, and certainly it's an important question for us. Just about a month ago, James Cameron, the Academy Award-winning director who gave us the movie The Titanic, published an article and made a documentary about a casket found in the vicinity of Jerusalem that has Jesus' name on it. And from that, he argued that Jesus didn't rise, that he stayed in the tomb. They found his body. Well, what are the implications then of Jesus' resurrection from the dead? The best way to get at that is the way Paul goes at it, which is what would happen if it had not happened. Then we just look at the opposite and we see what the resurrection means for us. Let's look at this first part of the 15th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Let's start with verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaimed, and so you have come to believe. This is a wonderful summary of the gospel message. Christ died for our sins, and this is exactly as the Old Testament had foretold. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. Then Christ was buried. You know, that indicates he really was dead. You don't bury people that are alive, you only bury people who are dead. And he was raised up to life again on the third day, also according to what the Bible teaches. Psalm 16:10 says, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. So Paul says that's the truth. And there are a lot of witnesses to that fact that he rose from the dead. He appeared to Peter and the 12 disciples. At one point, he appeared to more than 500 believers at one time. Most of them still alive in Paul's day. Finally, Jesus showed himself to Paul. This was a good 5 years after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. Yet he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus as he was hurrying to persecute the Christians there. He knocked Paul down with a bright light and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And even though it had been 5 years, nonetheless, it was the same living, risen Lord whom Paul saw. Paul's meeting with the risen Christ changed his life, and it's impossible to exaggerate how much it changed his life. He went from being a persecutor of the church to one of his chief builders, a missionary who took the gospel to the whole world. He gave up a promising career as a scholar of the Jewish law to become a follower of Jesus, to teach his way. And Paul lived every day of his life thereafter in awe of the risen Christ, relying upon his grace in his daily life. Let's pick it up again with verses 12 to 19. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. You know, belief in Christ's resurrection seems like second nature to us 20 centuries later. You know, we affirm it every week when we say the Apostles' Creed. But in Paul's day, that was a revolutionary teaching. Well, it really still is if we understand the implications of it. A good number of the Jews didn't believe in a resurrection of the dead. There was a group called the Sadducees. They didn't believe that the body. Why would you want your body back once you'd gotten rid of it? They just couldn't understand that concept. And the Greek view, especially through the teachings of the philosopher Plato, had influenced people so much that they just couldn't understand the concept of a resurrection from the dead. How could Jesus rise from the dead? How can we rise from the dead? And that's what Paul is confronting in his day. Paul is very familiar with the discipline of logic. He proceeds to look at the argument that the dead aren't raised, and he draws these conclusions from it. If the dead aren't raised, well, that means Christ wasn't raised, because he was dead. And if Christ hasn't been raised, there's really nothing to believe in. All this preaching is a waste of time. And since Christ hasn't risen, those who preach that he is are nothing more than liars. More than that, those who believe in a Christ who wasn't resurrected are only fooling themselves. They only think Jesus paid for their sins, but if he didn't rise from the dead, it was all for nothing. And we're still caught up in our sins. If Jesus didn't live again on that first Easter, then neither will your loved ones who died trusting in him. You'll never see them again. They're gone forever. You said your last goodbyes out there at the graveside. Last of all, we are nothing more than pitiful fools if we believe that Jesus rose from the dead and in fact he didn't. We've based our lives on a lie and we don't know what reality is. That's a terrible, bleak outlook on life, isn't it? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there's no benefit in believing in him. If he didn't rise from the dead, you can't trust anything he said, because he said he would rise from the dead. You're going to base your life on the teachings of a liar? Just won't work. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, what's the point of looking toward the future, trying to live your life the way God wants you to live? There really isn't a future. Get all you can today, because there may not be a tomorrow. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we Christians are truly pitiful. The people who slept in late this morning instead of going to church at least got a good rest out of the deal. And people who whooped it up last night and got drunk, even if they don't remember it, they probably had a pretty good time. What do we get if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we Christians are no different from Linus, waiting out in the pumpkin patch every year, waiting for the great pumpkin to come. Think of all the years he missed out on trick-or-treat because he believed there was a greater blessing to come if he would just wait. Feel like getting up and going home yet? Don't go away. Paul has more to say. Let's pick it up with verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But then it says all things are put in subjection. It is plain that it does not include the one who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who put all things in subjection under him, so that God may be all in all. All this what if doesn't mean anything, because it is true. Jesus did rise from the dead. What's more, Jesus is just the very first to do so. He's the prototype, if you will. He's what we will be when we rise from the dead. We'll have bodies like him. We shall be like him. He's talking about all of us, you and me, who have put our trust in Christ. Jesus undid the terrible mistake and sin that Adam did. Adam sinned against God and doomed all of his children born thereafter to be slaves and to be bound to die. Jesus, though, walked this earth and lived a perfect life. He didn't sin, so he didn't need to die. But he did die, and he died for us. There will come a day when Jesus will return to raise the dead who trusted in him, and he will set all things right. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. This is the 21st century. What difference does that make to us today? No less than in Paul's day, in this day, the Christian faith rises and falls and totally rests upon the great truth that Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead to live and reign forever. If it's true, that makes all the difference in the world. If Jesus rose from the dead, it does prove that everything he said and did was true. If he came forth from the grave on that first Easter, we can believe him when he says that our sins are forgiven, that we're in right relationship with God the Father, because he's proven it. And because Jesus lives, so will we. We no longer have to fear death. Death has no sting to those who put their trust in Christ. This is incredible news. Yet not everybody believes this. Why do so many doubt our Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection? I don't think it's for lack of proof. There's plenty of proof to be had out there. Luke says in the book of Acts that Jesus presented himself alive to his followers by many convincing proofs. Now, I think the problem is if we don't want to believe something, nobody can make us believe. No proof is ever going to be enough for somebody that doesn't want to believe. I think the real reason is Because it's because you can't have Jesus as your Savior unless you also have him as your Lord. You can't have him as your fire insurance policy to save you from hell and not expect to live for him with all that's in you. If Jesus is your Savior, he also is your Lord. And he calls to you, follow me. That's the testimony. That's the witness of millions of Christians who rest upon the Word of God, who know the risen Christ personally. Believing that Jesus is risen from the dead gives us some priceless treasures. We know that we're in his hands and that he's with us. When he said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, that wasn't just a figurative metaphor. That was the truth, the literal truth. He is with us right now, right here, right where we are, where we're facing our problems. Jesus is with us. We're never alone. And because Jesus rose from the dead and is our Lord and Savior, we have a purpose for life. We know that God has made us for a reason and is working his purposes, his plans out in our lives. And most precious of all, we have hope. We know that there's much more to this life than life itself. Eternity is ours because of Jesus. I love this hymn we're about to sing, one of my favorites. I always assumed that the author of this hymn, Alfred H. Ackley, was a Baptist, because it seems like the Baptists are the ones that write all the good hymns. But I was wrong. This man is a Presbyterian who wrote this hymn. And he wrote it after he had a conversation with somebody at one of the crusades that he was preaching at. A young Jewish college student came up to him and said, why should I worship a dead Jew? And that caused him to think. And at his next sermon at the meeting, he said this. He lives. I tell you, he is not dead, but lives here and now. Jesus Christ is more alive today than ever before. I can prove it by my own experience, as well as the testimony of countless thousands. Jesus didn't rise from the dead just because I say so. God's Word assures us of that fact, and there are millions upon millions of people who will testify to the reality that Jesus is alive now, has a personal relationship with us. If you've come here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know him personally, he died on the cross for you, and he rose from the dead for you. Put your trust in him, and if you have any questions or any concerns about that, please see me afterwards, and we'll talk through it and pray. Let's join together and pray. Our wonderful Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank you for this glorious truth upon which our faith rests, that our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, died for us, and rose again to give us new life. Help us to live in the reality of that resurrection. Let it change our way of thinking. We submit ourselves to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we follow his every leading. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.